RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesia and Fiji strengthen relations on trade and security. Participants from Morocco praises youth involvement in World Zakat Forum, WSF. Now the news in detail. Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi on Tuesday met with Fiji Defense Minister Ratu Inoke Kabubola to discuss about the relation between the two countries, which include trade and cooperation between police forces. Foreign Ministry spokesperson Armand Atanasir said during a press briefing on Wednesday, March 15, 2017, that Indonesia is committed to cooperating with Melanesian countries, especially to increase capacity in regard to police forces. Armand also added that Indonesia also hopes to increase its role in infrastructure development in the Pacific. The spokesman did not elaborate on what kind of trade partnership will be implemented between Indonesia and Fiji. Indonesia is hosting this year's gathering as an associate member country of the Melanesian Spread Group, MST. The meeting aims to help develop closer ties between regional police forces to prevent and combat transnational crimes. Bandung Mayor Ridwan Kamil is rumored to have been backed by National Democrat Nasdem Party to run for West Java governor office. It has been corroborated by the circulation of digital flyers on WhatsApp groups on Wednesday, March 15, 2017. The flyer said that a declaration event will be held on Sunday in Tegalega, Bandung to support Ridwan Kamil's candidacy for West Java governor for the 2018-2023 term. Nasdem Party has yet to confirm the verity of the flyers. Ridwan has confirmed that the declaration event would be held. However, the mayor has yet to decide whether to run on Nasdem Party ticket. Mayor Ridwan Kamil added that on the governor bid, a decision will be made on registration day, because as shown in Jakarta election when he was widely supported long before the registration, changes may happen on the day. Thus, he would like to express his sincere gratitude to everyone, both independent volunteers and party. A participant of the World Zakat Forum from Morocco praises Indonesia as the host of the World Zakat Forum 2017. It was submitted by Moroccan observer and researcher Abdeslam Belaji to reporter of a Voice of Indonesia. He expressed his praise on youth involvement in the forum held from 15 to 16 of March. Alhamdulillah, thanks to God, the conference runs very well. The young people, both young men and women, work hard and are really remarkable, so that the organization of the event becomes extraordinary. Abdeslam Belaji also said that the National Zakat Management Board, BASNAS, as one of the parties which greatly contribute in the 2007 WZF conference, has done amazing things to promote charity as an instrument to assist the government in reducing poverty. World Zakat Forum is a series of conferences that raises charity activities of various parts of the world, including from non-Muslim countries. The International Forum is held regularly every 3 years, and this year it is held in Indonesia with the theme strengthening the rule of Zakat as an important instrument in alleviating global poverty. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi is visiting Penang and Johor Bahru, Malaysia on March 15 to 17, 2017. The spokesman of Foreign Affairs Ministry Armanata Nasir said that the main goal of the minister's visit is to strengthen protection service for Indonesian citizens who live in Malaysia. At the press briefing held on Wednesday, Armanata explained that the minister will meet regional heads of Penang and Johor Bahru. Several agendas will be carried out by Minister Retno Marsudi during her visit, such as visiting Indonesian Workers' Center, especially in several locations of farms. Minister Retno Marsudi will also officially inaugurate several new innovations which had been applied by two Indonesian consulates in the filing process of passport and consular services. Armanata also stated that Malaysia is an important country to increase services and protection related to large number of Indonesian citizens staying there.
Tercatat secara resmi ada sekitar 1,4 juta.
There are 1.4 million Indonesian citizens who stay in Malaysia. The figure is recorded in Indonesian Embassy and Indonesian Consulate General in Malaysia and the protection system in Jakarta. The number is not included on the official procedure, so the number could be bigger.
Di luar dari jumlah WNI yang masuk dan bekerja di Malaysia yang tidak sesuai dengan prosedur. Jadi kalau kita lihat datanya itu mungkin bisa hampir dua kali lipat dari angka resminya.
Armanata Nasir further said that in Malaysia there are many Indonesian citizens who experience various legal problems such as unpaid salary, immigration violations, torture and human trafficking. Added that Minister Retno Marsudi's visit to Penang and Johor Bahru is the best visit over the last 30 years. He says that the focus of Indonesian government towards Indonesian people is to increase service and protection of its citizens in the two regions. Armanata views that in the visit, Minister Retno Marsudi has no plan to visit Kuala Lumpur related to the murder case involving Indonesian citizen Siti Aisyah. The spokesperson of Foreign Affairs Minister Armanata Nasir said that Indonesian government will assume fully responsibility to the damage of coral reef committed by NP Caledonia Skyship. At the press briefing in Jakarta on Wednesday, Armanata explained that Indonesian government has made coordination with Coordinating Minister of Maritime Transport Ministry, Maritime and Fisheries Ministry, Law and Human Rights Ministry, the Police and the Attorney General Office. The Indonesian government will take further steps to gain the ship's accountability.
Tentunya pemerintah sangat concern bahwa hal ini bisa terjadi dan tentunya semua langkah akan diambil.
Indonesian government is very concerned that this can happen and all steps will be taken to request his responsibility to the damage, whether it is in the context of criminal or civil law, and to compensate the damage because it is the natural conservation area, so we need the criminal aspect.
Itu adalah kawasan yang cagar budaya ya kalau saya. Jadi itu juga ada aspek pidananya. Jadi semua langkah akan diambil oleh pemerintah untuk memastikan pertanggungjawaban penuh diberikan.
Armanata Nasir further said that every country that sails in the international waters must obey the international law of United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea. Indonesian government is now focusing on looking into sun investigation, the impact of damage and what steps need to be taken. This time, the ship and the captain of MP Caledonian Skyship, Kate Michael Taylor from England, has left Indonesia without waiting the ongoing assessment process. The last item, the government of Indonesia has formed a joint team consisting of related institutes and ministry to deal with the destruction of coral reefs in Raja Ampat, Papua by the cruise ship NP Caledonia Sky. The Indonesian government, represented by the Minister of Environment and Forestry, Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fishery, and the police, will file a civil and criminal lawsuit with suspicion of committing environmental destruction in Raja Ampat area. It was announced by Director General of Marine Management, the Minister of Marine Affairs and Fishery, Bramantia Satyamurti Purwadi in Jakarta on Wednesday.
Terkait Undang-Undang 32 tahun 2009 tentang perlindungan.
According to Law Number 32 2009 on the Protection and Management of the Environment, Law Number 31 of 2004 and Law Number 45 2009 on the Fisheries, every person doing business or fishery management activities shall comply with the provisions referred to Paragraph 1, especially in Point K, which mentions marine protected areas, to ensure that legal measures we will take. Environment investigators through the Director General of Environmental investigators are ready. They can also be accompanied by police. Bramantia Satyamurti Purwadi explained the damage inflicted by NP Caledonia cruise ship is approximately 1,600 square meters wide, with a variety of coral reef degradation, habitat, and marine ecosystem. It used that until now it is not certain material damages caused by the incidents, but it is certain that the environmental damage requires a lot of funds for the rehabilitation and restoration of the environment around Raja Ampat, West Papua. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, our commentary today entitled The Damaged Coral Reefs on Raja Ampat, Papua. The coral reefs on Raja Ampat in West Papua suffered severe damage after the British cruise ship Caledonian Sky hit the reefs protected on Raja Ampat district on the island of Kree. This event occurred after this cruise traveled to see birds on the island of Waikeo on March 4. The ship weighs about 4,200 tons and it was carrying 102 passengers and 79 crew on the way for 16 days from Papua New Guinea to the Philippines. The ship has damaged about 1,600 square meters of coral reefs at the diving location known as Crossover Reef. This incident resulted in the destruction of structural habitat ecosystem and reduction or loss of diversity of 8 species of coral reefs. In connection with the incident, the government of Indonesia, represented by the Minister of Environment and Forestry, has sent a team to Raja Ampat to calculate and identify the area of the damaged coral reefs. Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya, stated that the owner of the ship is willing to provide financial compensation for the damaged coral reefs. Minister Siti also said that the team of the government is working on the field to map the impact of the incident. It's very alarming not only for the coverage of the damaged coral reefs, but also the damaged area which belongs to the main zone of the area of water conservation in Dunfier Strait. This area has had diversity of corals and it is a place for a variety of commercial fish, and the area of food security for Raja Ampat and surrounding areas. The case of the damaged coral reefs becomes a valuable lesson for all stakeholders. This indicates that the sensitive conservation area will become tourist activities. Coral reefs take a long time to grow. In addition, the coral reefs are a tourism asset of Indonesia. Thus, if they are damaged, Indonesia will also lose its economic potential. This case also shows that the captain of the ship was careless in the conservation area. Therefore, any foreign vessels that pass on the conservation area should have local guides familiar with the area, so the ships are not stuck in the area. Strict action from the government must be taken if there is destruction on the environment or ecosystem in Indonesia. This has to be carried out to preserve the environment. The government has been trying to seriously address the case of the destruction of the coral reefs. It will also phone a joint team consisting of the Maritime Affairs Ministry, the Minister of Environment and Forestry, the Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries, the Ministry of Tourism, the Ministry of Transportation, the Attorney General, and the Police. The team will deal with the aspect of criminal and civil law in this case, including mutual assistance. The team is also tasked to verify the destruction to the environment and the safety of navigation on the ship. All steps should be taken to restore the environment that has been damaged, so that people are not harmed with the result of such damage. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener, wherever you are. Welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on March 16, 1968, when the mass murder by U.S. soldiers occurred in South Vietnam. U.S. soldiers killed 200 until 500 village residents at My Lai Four in the north of South Vietnam. The My Lai Four village is located in the area which was often infiltrated by Viet Cong insurgent group, and many U.S. soldiers were killed in the area. On March 16, 1968, Lieutenant Kelly and his troops came to the village to launch Operation Search and Destroy. However, they found women, children, and elders only. Then the U.S. soldiers channeled their anger by killing the unarmed people. The mass murder ended after an American pilot named Hugh Thompson landed his helicopter between American soldier and village residents. This incident was first concealed one year after it was revealed and military investigation was held. Lieutenant Kelly was sentenced to life, although Fedon later in jail for several years only. The next event is that in 1978, Amoco Cadiz Super Tank sank. U.S. Amoco Cadiz Super Tanker, which was sailing to Rotterdam, faced problems at 9:45 GMT. Previously, the helmsman has warned the captain that the steer was damaged. Finally, on March 16, 1978, the ship was out of control and sunk into the waters of Potsdam Rocks, 30 meters from the coast of Brittany, France. More than 200,000 tons of crude oil spilled and polluted the waters. While 42 crews of Amoco Cadiz were saved before the ship sank, around 360 kilometers of the coast and 200,000 hectares of the sea were estimated to be contaminated by the oil spill. Finally, Amoco supertanker captain Vasculi Bardari was taken to court and sentenced for his mistake. We end today in history with an event of March 16, 1988. Thousands of Halabja people in northern Iraq died due to toxic gas. Halabja is a city in Iran located around 240 kilometers from Baghdad, the capital city of Iraq, and around 14 kilometers of Iranian border. Halabja is an important spot for National Liberation Front of Kurdistan. On March 16, 1988, when the Iran-Iraq war took place, Saddam Hussein's troops launched gas attack against the city. This attack took 5,000 lives on Kurdish people and wounded around 10,000 people. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahman.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is our arrival service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. The theme of today's Focus is Indonesian employees must have competency certification to compete in the era of ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. Indonesian employees are expected to have competency certification to improve their working quality. Thus, the certification becomes a benchmark of a company to recruit its workers. This was stated by Chairman of Indonesian Employer Association APINDO for East Kalimantan Region, Slamet, in a coordination meeting of domestic apprenticeship in Balikpapan, East Kalimantan, on last Friday. He said that the certification has to be provided for the employees to be able to compete in the era of the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. Slamet also explained that the expertise of the local employees is still very low. Of the 2 million employees in East Kalimantan, only 1,000 of them had been certified. He said that the certification competency is very important for all workers so that companies can more easily accept the certified employees. Furthermore, Slamet added that to encourage competency certification program for employees in East Kalimantan, APINDO of East Kalimantan will cooperate with National Professional Certification, BNSP, as the agency that issues the certification. Based on this cooperation, he encouraged all employees to have the certification. Meanwhile, Head of East Kalimantan Manpower, Tirta Dewi, said that 1,000 until 1,500 companies are targeted to participate in the apprenticeship. Of more than 2,000 companies in Balikpapan, 150 of them have joined. Averagely, the companies participating in the apprenticeship is medium to major ones. Probably the small ones will also participate. She said that the creation of apprenticeship will be opened by President Joko Widodo on March 16, 2017. In the course of the apprenticeship declaration, the target set for one company is up to 30% of the number of company's employees depending on the capabilities of the company. If the company has 10 employees, a maximum of 3 people will participate in the apprenticeship program. Tirta Dewi also said that the domestic apprenticeship is conducted throughout Indonesia, which is financed both from the regional budget revenue and from the company. Tirta Dewi also added that overseas apprenticeship can also be done through proposal. Over the last 2 years, the overseas apprenticeship has been provided in Japan. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Foreign Affairs Minister Ratu Marsudi on Tuesday met with Fiji Defense Minister Ratu Inoke Kabuabola to discuss about the relation between the two countries, which include trade and cooperation between police forces. Bandung Mayor Ridwan Kamil is rumored to have been backed by National Democrat Nasdem Party to run for West Java Governor office. It has been corroborated by the circulation of digital flyers on WhatsApp groups on West Java 15-2017. A participant of the World Zakat Forum for Morocco praises Indonesia as the host of the World Zakat Forum 2017. It was submitted by Moroccan observer and server Abdelsland Belaji. To reporter Voice of Indonesia, he expressed his praise on youth involvement in the forum held from 15 to 16 of March. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi is visiting Penang and Johor Bahru, Malaysia on March 15 to 17, 2017. The spokesperson of Foreign Affairs Ministry, Arman Atanasir, said that the main goal of the minister's visit is to strengthen protection service for Indonesian citizens who live in Malaysia. The spokesman of Foreign Affairs Ministry, Arman Atanasir, said that Indonesian government will assume fully responsibility to the damage of coral reef committed by NP Caledonia Skyship. At a press briefing in Jakarta on Wednesday, Armanata explained that Indonesian government has made coordination with Coordinating Minister of Maritime, Transportation Ministry, Marine and Fishery Ministry, Law and Human Rights Ministry, the Police and the Attorney General Office. The government of Indonesia has formed a joint team consisting of related institutes and ministries to deal with the destruction of coral reefs in Raja Ampat, Papua by the cruise ship MP Caledonia Sky. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to Probolinggo, East Java Province. Stay tuned. Listener, Probolinggo is one of regencies in East Java Province. The regency, with a 100 km distance from Surabaya, is one of the largest cities in East Java Province. The regency is also known as Manggur City, means mango and grape, because mango and grape become major agricultural commodities of Probolinggo. In addition to produce mango and grape, Probolinggo, also called as the City of Thousand Gardens, because Probolinggo has many plants along the road and free from rubbish. Visiting Probolinggo, you can enjoy clean air and comfortable. The region also has many natural attractions that make anyone will be amazed. There are Mount Bromo, Bentar Beach, Gili Ketapang Island, Madakaripura Waterfall, and many others. Thank you.
For those of you who like adrenaline tour, Probolinggo has river tubing tourism object. The traveling down to the river by using inner tube can be enjoyed at the Gading Wetan village. The river tubing Gading Wetan takes advantage of the rapid flow of Pandan Laras River. River tubing at Gading Wetan village takes 2.5 kilometers distance with 2 hours drive. However, although it's quite short journey, the water sport arena that has been developed since 2013 presents a memorable experience. River tubing was initiated by residents and the local youth. The youth were recruited into the tourism management team, both as a tour guide, a rescue team, or facility provider. The local residents are also involved with selling some products in the tourism sites. For the traveler who want to try the river tubing, must firstly gather and wearing a helmet, life jacket, and protective feet and hands at the house of the village head of Gading Wetan. Then go to the start point of the tubing. During the trip, you will enjoy the green and unspoiled landscape. After arriving at the starting line, you will go up the tires and down the Pandan Laras River, which has 10 meters wide, accompanied by 10 guides and rescuers. Then the river tubing tour begin, traveling along the river, which filled with rocks and swift river current that stimulate your adrenaline, not to mention the steep river at some points. A few hundred meters initiating the river tubing, you will find Gledek Judu, a great spot of a traditional bridge for selfie photo with your relatives. When entering about 500 meters distance, you will be invited to waving to avoid the solid rocks blocking the water flow. If you do not drive the tire carefully, you will be wedged between the rocks. The location is also called Betoh Takepek by manager of the site. You are not only invited to wave to avoid the rocks, you will also be invited to jump at the Damparas 100 meters before finish. At the finish line, you'll be treated to have lunch with a menu, white rice, fish, tofu, tempeh, payek udang or shrimp crackers, and tomato sauce and also hot tea. Eating while enjoying the natural scenery of Pandan Laras River certainly provides sensation. To enjoy river tubing, you have only to pay 50,000 rupiah. There are 10 people in one group. The tourism area has also been equipped with bathing pool and dressing, gazebo and coffee. Listener, that was today's regular Indonesian Wonder with the topic River Tubing at Gading Wetan, Probolinggo. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about wonderful Indonesia booth which received an award in the U.S. news is coming from United States, where Wonderful Indonesia booth received two awards in Los Angeles Travel and Adventure Show 2017 in the United States on February 18 to 19, 2017. The Indonesian booth received the Best of Show Cultural Display and the Best Dance World Heritage Cultural Center. Wonderful Indonesia booth performance has defeated other countries' performance, such as China, Spain, Panama, Tahiti, Egypt, and other Middle East countries. The achievement brings about pride for Indonesia and shows that Indonesian creativity becomes the world's taste. The Wonderful Indonesia Pavilion also shows hospitality by providing many kinds of Indonesian culinary, traditional food and beverage. Indonesia also performs some Indonesian traditional dances such as Bajidor Kahot, Cigrik Ndat Mass Dance, Plate Dance, and Banyuwangi Carnival. It also shows destination theater of soft adventures of Wonderful Indonesia, people, culture, and nature presented by Paul Edmundus of Bali and Heri Rudianto of Yogyakarta. Pavilion's success attracted American citizens to have journeyed to Indonesia. As many as 9 tourism industries that consist of 5 Indonesian travel agents, 3 US travel agents and 1 Singapore Airlines receive an order to several Indonesian tourism destinations. Indonesian government has targeted 15 million foreign tourists. The target is higher compared with last year of 12 million foreign tourists. The program promotion has been done effectively by the Indonesian government through the tourism ministry to achieve the target. One of them was participating in the Los Angeles Travel and Adventure Show 2017. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany that has informed you about Wonderful Indonesia booth, which received an award in the US. I'm Nika Kusumawati, thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular music corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will present you to an Indonesian singer. Listener, her ability to play in the wide screen or at TV screen. Maryam Bellina has a good talent. Some wide screen movies and TV series she has been played. Dozens of movie titles has been starred by Maryam Bellina, as well as TV series or sinetron. There are not many changes that occurred in her performance. The artist who has German, Dutch, Indonesian bloody ever won the Citra Cup of the Indonesian Film Festival in 1990s. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Kerinduan by Maryam Bellina. Happy listening.
Terima kasih.
listener, her debut in the widescreen film industry is quite popular up to the foreign countries. A Dutch writer created a book called Sayangku O Sayang, which is inspired by the beauty of the artist. The book was sold out in the Netherlands. Meriam Belina began her singing career since she was in grade 2 of high school. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Untuk Sebuah Nama by Meriam Belina. Happy listening. Listener, in the music industry, Meriam Belina relies on solely on the basis of natural ability without vocals coach. But she has vocal with high-pitched tones. The ability of Maryam Bellina's vocal makes a composer in the country, Panche Pondah, keen to compose a song for her. Panche was very sure that his songs are suitable and blend with the vocal character of Maryam Bellina. It's truly the Panche works, which sung by Maryam Bellina successfully to manage the music industry and well accepted by the music lovers. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Begitu Indah by Maryam Bellina. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Cukuplah sudah sayang, kau berkorban untuk diriku. Aku pun menyadari apa arti diriku. Cukuplah. Mungkin memang, mungkin harus.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Menutup diri.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Yeah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.